On this Father's Day, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our brother. Amen. We meditate on that first scripture lesson. Let's read it from the worship folder with those excerpts. I'll fill in the details in the sermon. 2 Samuel chapter 11 into chapter 12. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, David had her brought to his house. And she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. The Lord sent Nathan to David. He said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, dear Jesus our brother, grant us the dear Holy Spirit as you have promised to open our minds and hearts to the beauty of your grace. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of our Father in heaven, Jesus his Son, the Holy Spirit, our sanctifier, dearly redeemed children of the Heavenly Father. Some of the worst fathers are in the Bible. Before this incident in our text, David was not one of them. After this, David, by this sin and series of sin, brought more shame and sadness and death into his family than probably anybody else in the Bible. And yet, in the instance of this king, this example that the Holy Spirit gives us of dreadful sin so out of character for him, we see the grace of God that just won't quit. We see how God in his mercy brought David back to repentance so that he could have God's judgment on his sin in mercy and then receive his merciful discipline and accept that discipline as coming from his gracious God. Grace that just won't quit. A lesson for Father's Day. A lesson for all of us. A lesson to contemplate as if we could see this through the eyes of one of David's servants. In 2 Samuel 10, 11, and 12, it keeps on mentioning the servants. What if one could talk to us today? Sometimes it's extremely difficult to be a servant of the king. I had known David since I was a young boy growing up in Bethlehem, knew the family back when he was out shepherding the sheep for his father Jesse, heard about his anointing by Samuel and the way he killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands, and then Goliath, the giant Philistine champion. As I was growing up and hearing about this David, our king, it was one victory after another. No one could beat King David because the Lord gave him victory wherever he went. And that was true the year before when this awful incident happened. Something I hope I never have to live through again. David had sent Joab, his general, out to fight the age-old enemies of us Israelites, the Ammonites. And Joab won with his brother Abishai, and then they tried to hire more mercenaries from Aramea. And David went after them with the army. One victory after another. It didn't matter whether Joab was leading or Abishai was leading. David leading the armies of the Lord could not be stopped. It was a great time to be an Israelite. It was a great time to be a servant of the king. But in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David is a middle-aged king by this time. He has lots of fruits of his labors to enjoy. And instead of doing his business of going off and fighting the Lord's battles against the Lord's enemies, he decided to stay home. Let Joab do the fighting, do the dirty work. How many fathers don't get into trouble that way? Maybe they ought to be busy about their family finances or talking to their wife or playing with their kids and they're on the internet. Images and pictures that ought never be seen, much less stored and contemplated. Well, we didn't have internet in those days. But there were ways that kings and men could fall. David's house was on the hill, just beneath where they eventually built Solomon's temple. But David's house overlooked that city called the city of David, otherwise known as Jerusalem. And I didn't know that night when he was up on the roof looking down at the city what it was that had him so mesmerized. He just was looking and looking this way and that way, and finally he called me over and said, "I want you to find out who that woman is." I must have turned red. She was bathing. And I looked at the king, and he said, "It won't hurt to find out who she is." So I did what I was told. There's only so much you can say to the king. When I came back, I tried to stress the facts, because even asking the question was so different than our king. This was the king that the Lord said was a man after his own heart. Why didn't you turn away? Why are you looking? I couldn't say that. But I brought back the information and I asked him, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? She's somebody's daughter. She's another man's wife." And then I went about my business. He didn't say anything more to me. It wasn't long after that I saw her come to the palace secretly and quietly. He sent another servant to get her. Whispers for several months. Just nothing more said, but just everybody baffled by this behavior. And I thought, well, maybe there's an explanation. Until one day, a servant messenger came and took me aside and said, "Go tell King David a message from Bathsheba. Tell him Bathsheba says, I am pregnant." I thought I was going to die. To have to go and tell my king what he'd done. But he took the news and didn't seem to think much of it. It was almost like he had a solution figured out already. He's the commander-in-chief of the Lord's armies. Joab is off to war. He brought the husband home. Uriah the Hittite wasn't even an Israelite. He was one of those who had turned to the Lord our God as the Savior God, the Holy God. And you know what soldiers do when they come home from battle? They usually go home to their wife. This man would not. A noble soldier of God. Uriah, when David questioned him, said, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my master Joab and my Lord's men are camped in the open fields. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." He would not go home. And David kept trying. Fed him, got him drunk. And he still would take his soldier's mat and come out by us servants and sleep with us. Uriah would not go home to his wife. David still seemed so relaxed about it. He sent Uriah back, and it wasn't much later that we heard that Uriah was killed in battle. Uriah had been carrying a letter. No one dreamed what was in that letter. But in the months that followed, it seemed like David turned more and more inside on himself. He got literally sick. He couldn't sleep at night. I'd hear him wake up and go in and try to ask him what was wrong. He wouldn't tell anybody. He wasn't going up to the temple anymore. He wouldn't talk to the prophets. He was just sick. I didn't know what to do. I'm just a servant. The prophet Nathan came and talked to David, because David by this time had taken Bathsheba into his house. When the word came that Uriah was dead, Bathsheba mourned a little while, and then we heard that, well, David had taken her and married her. And by then, oh, you could tell she was pregnant. But Nathan came, and he told what I think your family psychologists call an emotional word picture. A story that's meant to really cut to someone's heart. I was listening as Nathan told this, and you never would have guessed what it was about, because the prophets would come and talk to the king sometime. And Nathan told this story to David, a former shepherd, about a rich man and a poor man. The rich man had lots of flocks and herds, everything he wanted, and the poor man had just one little ewe lamb that he had bought and grown up with. It grew up with his family, you know, nestled in his arms and drank from his cup and lived with his kids. And the rich man gets a visitor, needs something to feed to this traveler, and instead of taking from his own flocks, he killed the poor man's only lamb. Oh, David was more angry than I've seen it. You should have seen the fire in his eyes. He was so upset. He said to Nathan, "That man deserves to die." He even took an oath. "As surely as God lives, that man deserves to die." And Nathan got very quiet. Nathan looked the king in the eye and said, "You are the man. You are the man. You self-righteous. You think that you're good. Temple of the Lord guy, tabernacle, king of God's people. You think you're a good man? That was all, and you are the man." But Nathan had some other details. "Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you. And he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." David wasn't angry anymore. In just such humble simplicity, he said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." He was almost like he was relieved to get it out, to finally get this off his chest and just say, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan did not hesitate. There was no preaching of you did this or you did that and you ought to be ashamed of yourself at that point. None of that. Without hesitation, Nathan said to David, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die." The next week was the worst week of my life. David wouldn't eat. He would not sleep in his bed. He would not get off the ground. He kept praying and crying out to God, fasting and praying. Elders from his family came and tried to get him up. Take care of yourself. He would not do it. He kept praying for that child, and the child that Bathsheba had born to him, he just kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker, until finally he died. And all of us servants are whispering at that point, how do we tell him now? If he was like that before, he'll really be beside himself if he hears the child's dead. But you can't hide things from the king. David finally asked us what we were whispering about. He actually said, "Is the child dead?" And then we had to answer, "Yes, he's dead." David surprised us again. He cleaned up, washed up, got up, ate up, and he acts like everything's fine. And we came to him a little bit puzzled. "Why are you acting like this? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now the child is dead, and you get up and eat." And his answer was classic. "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." He was trusting that our merciful and gracious Lord God took that child to himself. And he would go to the child, though the child could not come to him. Because our God hears our prayers. And when we pray for our little ones in the womb or out of the womb, our God hears our prayers. And David was so convinced that he was forgiven that he was sure that God in his mercy would take that child to himself. And when they had another son, David and Bathsheba, they called that son Solomon. And the Lord sent word through Nathan the prophet again. The Lord loves him. Call him Jedidiah, loved by Jehovah. And there were other sons that followed. Those two were really in love. And David was never told by the Lord to divorce his wife Bathsheba. And you've got to know the mercy and grace of God that just won't quit. Because if you read in Matthew chapter 1, the legal line of Jesus through his stepfather Joseph, it goes David and Solomon, son of the woman who was Uriah's wife. If you look at Luke chapter 3 and you follow the bloodline of Jesus through his mother Mary, you have David. And then you have Nathan, another son of David and Bathsheba. Legal line, bloodline, both come together in Jesus Christ. Nathan, of all the names to name your child for the prophet that told you, "Your sins are all forgiven. Tell me, dear believers, the love of our Father in heaven, is this not the grace that will not quit, the undeserved love of God for you, for all? Praise the name of the Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise.